Hello again. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're going to continue the message that we were doing yesterday, which we're going to begin a different lesson, different kind of a lesson from the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. I was mentioning that in Genesis, it tells us where the first sin was committed. And it tells us all throughout Genesis that all the people that prayed to God, and they believed that he was there, and therefore their souls were saved because they communicated to him. If you're really a born-again Christian, you're really going to want to get a hold of the Lord, to touch the Lord. And the only way that you can do that is to, of course, if you're a born-again Christian, you're regenerated. You're generated. You have the Spirit of God living in you. You have Jesus with the Father by the Spirit living in you, and he's living his life in you and through you. And souls are being saved through you, and the church is being edified through you. And you're happy, and you're full of praise for the Lord because of his presence in you. And you know you've been delivered from hell and into the kingdom of heaven. And so we're going to do some of that, and then we'll just let the Lord lead the rest of the service today, because I just do what the Lord tells me to do. And it's always full of surprises. You know, I never know really what's going to go on these tapes, because none of them are rehearsed at all. All right? But right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to bless this tape with his outward anointing, because the outward anointing, Father, I know, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the ministry spirit, the spirit for the ministry, to minister to people. And Lord, I don't want to minister to them. I want you to minister through me to them. I want everything that is said on this tape to be directly from the throne of the living God, from you, Father. Lord, I ask that you do this in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's see, where's your first letter from?
From Tamil Nadu, India.
Okay.
Dear beloved pastor, I am very glad to write this letter to you. Here we are very fine. We hope the same with you, dear pastor. I am rejoicing in Christ that you are a world-renowned pastor for the glory of God. Your writings and publications are the tools for world revival. We are praying for your ministry earnestly. May the Lord use you very mightily for his glory. Let the perishing souls be saved by your powerful and anointed messages, and new branches opened in different states. Dear pastor, we are gathered in a house and we worship the Lord in faith and in spirit. The believers are thirsty for God's word. Therefore, can you send me some Bibles and also more of your publications?
Sure, you bet we can. We're going to do it too. We've already instructed the mail room to send out immediately when they read these letters, because we can't get to all of them as quickly as we'd like to. We just say, look, when they want some literature and Bibles, get that right away. Okay, then what else?
Beloved pastor, we do not have a church of our own. We are praying for one, and may you also pray for a church where we can worship the Lord and pray for our nation of India.
Well, brother or sister, the Bible says that you're the church. You're the temple of God. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, you could start out just like Sue and I did, right in our own little house. We had a little lean-to shack behind a filling station. Yeah, we were running people in there. You know, we'd go to the streets and witness to them and distribute literature, and then we'd bring them into that little house. And then pretty soon God gave us another house that was bigger. That once, it was a bunch of dope den. It was a bunch of dopers living in this house, and it was like a dope den. And so we were preaching at a mission downtown Los Angeles, and right afterwards they invited us to, the day before, to come in after we were at the mission to preach at this dope den. And we went in there, and it was really a sight to see. They had a fireplace there that had just stacks of Marlboro cigarette packages, and they made a weird design out of it, and they were all long-haired hippies, and some of the people were about half-dressed, but I couldn't tell because I've got glaucoma and tunnel vision, but Susie saw it. And she started preaching hell. I gave my testimony. She started preaching hellfire and brimstone to those young people there. And one of the guys threw a shirt to this girl that I learned afterwards that she didn't have anything on top, and I guess they thought they were going to blow our minds, but I honest to God didn't see it. And so she got really under conviction and put that shirt or sweater on, whatever they threw at her. And every single one in that dope den was saved, and that became our first church. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so that's the way you should start out, brothers. Just, you know, use whatever the Lord gives you at the time. Then we got so packed out that people were on the front porch out there, and we'd have to leave the screen door and the door open so that they could hear the message. And then we'd send them all out on the streets to pass out more literature, and we'd go out there with them. And Sue would do the cooking, and then while she's finishing the cooking, I'd get out and give my testimony. We'd sing a few songs, and some of the people that got saved would get up and give popcorn testimonies, just real short testimonies. And people were sleeping on the floor and in the closets and everything because it was a house. We really didn't have a church, and we just did the best we could with what we had. And somebody from some mission saw the work we were doing, and they said they had an old upright piano that they just let us have. Another church group said that they'd give us a bunch of folding chairs. And somebody gave us a tambourine, and some guy came in and told us he'd sell us a 12-string guitar for $15. And one of the boys that got saved knew how to play it. And then a piano player got saved, and we didn't have a piano player, and he was a real good piano player. And so I played the tambourine, and this man played the 12-string guitar, and Brian played the piano. And pretty soon the orchestra band kept getting bigger and bigger until we had an orchestra of over 100 people. And it was so great that they even asked us to play the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Handel's Messiah, in a motion picture for Warner Brothers. Here they brought, this is later on though, after we had big choir and everything, and so that A Journey Through the Past, I believe, was the name of the movie. You can get the album, and our name is right on the Tony and Susan Lama Christian Foundation. It's right on the album. And that's the way we started, though, and now, you know, we're all over the world. But if you're willing to go, you know, just do with what you got, God will just keep multiplying. You don't have to worry about it. And you don't rely on any human being, just yourself and the people that you win to the Lord. You'd be surprised, you know. This is going on 41 years, and it took some time, but I was not desiring any future at all, or career, or future. I didn't plan any future. I didn't plan it this way. I just laid on the altar and let the Lord guide me each day. If he told me to get busy and go out and start distributing literature, I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and start hitting all the cars with literature. I'd put them on the windshield, and I'd run down the street with them. And the Lord was watching me all the time. And that was after I'd scrub floors and fix beds and clean showers and things at the motel, as I was mentioning the tape yesterday. And we just kept on going, whatever the Lord led. That was it. So he just wants us to keep on going, right? Keep on keeping on, right?
Amen.
So, okay, then go ahead. So don't try to plan your ministry or try to jump ahead of the Lord. Just do what he says. It's so neat or wonderful and pleasurable to know that the Lord has built you up instead of going to some big religious person, like getting money from some big TV program. I didn't want to do that. I don't want, or I could have sold the Beatles album that I own, and they'd say, well, I'm the one that got this ministry going real good. But money isn't what does it. It's getting out on the streets and walking in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And letting the Spirit guide you, and let the Spirit win the souls, and let the Spirit build you. Then you know you're built on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Then what?
Please send us all the details of your ministry. Dear Pastor, we remember you and your family and your ministry in our daily prayers, and we are very thankful for you. I conclude this letter with love and prayers. Your loving pastor in his service, Pastor M.D. from Tamil Nadu, India.
All right, praise the Lord. Then where's the next letter from?
From Ghana, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor Tony Olamo, I am so humbled by seeing what your ministry is doing in the world, and I say may our Almighty God alone bless you physically, spiritually, and financially. Your address is such a blessing to me and has given me more encouragement for me to take you as my best friend in this whole world, in anything your holy family would be able to help me. Please, Pastor Tony, the main reason why I am informing you is that my mother and father are poor, so I am staying with a man named Iharhar, and he is treating me like an animal. He sometimes doesn't give me any food to eat. I decided to kill myself, but I heard you preaching, so I decided to stop. I was crying and praying to God. One day I was praying, and God told me that you and your holy family are the people to help me. In the future, I want...
You know, some people doubt that the Lord speaks like that, but I remember I just got a card from a man that helped with a bunch of lies to send me to prison, and for the gospel's sake. And I remember in the courtroom in over in Memphis, Tennessee, I was coming back from lunch with my attorney, and there was a bunch of people there that was lying about me. They were former members of our church, and what got to them, it was Satan himself. The Apostle Paul had defectors as well. A lot of people forsook him, and even Jesus had 1 out of 12 that betrayed him. But I was walking into the courtroom, and there's this one man that was with the church, and he had stolen a lot of money. And Aggie Agajanian, who owned 5 banks here in the Saugus Newhall, Valencia area, told me that he called me and says, Tony, this man is stealing from you. Some people were in line, and they heard him saying, talking to one other boy that's in your church, and they're saying that how much they're going to steal off of you and so on. He says, and Agajanian, Mr. Agajanian was one of my very best friends. He made all of his money, believe it or not, collecting garbage. And then he also had a huge hog farm where he had 1,000 sows. And we had a little hog farm up in the hills over here. I used them to help clean up the scraps from the table. Or that the church, because it cost so much money to dump the scraps, and we didn't have it. And at this very time, the IRS was saying we had hundreds of millions of dollars, and we couldn't even afford to dump the trash. So I got a bunch of pigs up there next to the National Forest, way far away where anyone could smell them, and they'd eat up all our scraps. And finally, it got pretty big, and so Aggie's wife did not want him to be in the hog business, and she didn't want anyone to know that he had made his money that way enough to buy the Santa Clarita banks, so open all of them. He owned all the Santa Clarita banks, so 5 or 6 of them. And so he says, Tony, can I come up to your hog farm and see your pigs? He said, but don't tell my wife. I says, oh, I won't, Aggie. Come on, you know, anytime you want to. He said, you let me? And I said, oh, sure, come on. But anyway, he was telling me about these people that were stealing from me. His name was Heidel, Richard Heidel. And he went into the courtroom and just told one lie after the other. And now he's a recording or something. He sent me a recording of him as though I'm going to, you know, promote this man. He actually sent letters in when I went in for a parole hearing. He said, don't let him out. He's a real weasel and everything. And they, because of his letter, would not let me out of prison on the parole board. And then when I got out of prison, he called me and said, you know, I'm the one that sent you to prison. And I says, yeah, but why? I said, we saved, you know, we preached the gospel. You got saved. And I said, you know, when I was in the courtroom there, I noticed you starting to lunge at me, and then all of a sudden you got real scared and you jumped back. Your eyes looked like they were like so frightened. And I said, what was that? Did God show you some kind of a vision or something? And I just got a letter yesterday from him saying Sue had already died. And he said, the reason I jumped back is because Sue told me, she put her finger in his face and said, no! And he saw her, evidently, and he jumped back. So when people say that they pray and the Lord tells them this and that, listen, I've had many supernatural experiences in my life, and I know that something happened to him. It always was a mystery to me. I wondered if it was the Lord or what it was that appeared to him and made him jump back, because he was rushing right towards me. And the Lord, and he said it was Sue that told me no. Do you have that letter here?
Yes, it was
next door. Oh, do you have it next door? Okay, yes. Well, maybe we'll read that next. Do you remember about what it says? Go ahead and say.
That's what he said, that it was Sue. She said no, and that's why I stopped.
Okay, and it took him all this time. This is 8 years since I've been, approximately 8 years, a little more, a little less, that I've been out of prison, and I was there for 4 years, so that's 12 years, and a half year in a halfway house. And finally he said that it was Sue, that God sent Sue there and stuck a finger in his face and said, no! And Sue came to my rescue. The Lord sent her there in that courtroom that time. And when I asked him on the phone years ago, he didn't tell me. He says, "Oh," and he just changed the subject. But he didn't want to admit. But I guess he might be sick or getting close to death or something, because he's, getting up there in years, that he wanted to confess that. And I've had many people confess that they've seen visions of Sue and myself. And it just would be endless for me to tell you of all the different things that God has shown people about the two of us. All right, but so I believe this man here when he's saying that. Read that line again.
I was crying and praying to God. One day I was praying and God told me that you and your holy family are the people to help me.
Right. So God told him that. And we do help people.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then what else?
In the future, I want to be a pastor, a man of God.
Well, see, now you're planning your future, what you want to be. But I've just brought, I've been giving messages on that you mustn't, in the world, plan your future if you're just saved. And when you come into the spiritual realm, don't plan your future. Just be a sacrifice unto the Lord and let Him take over. Let Him gradually build you. I didn't know this is the way the Lord is. I told Sue, she said we had to go in the back of supermarkets and beg for food when we were in the ministry. We were winning all these hippies to the Lord. And I had my last pair of Verde boots on and my nice pants and everything. And we were going through the back doors of these supermarkets where they had all these vegetables and squash tomatoes on the floor and slop and everything. I stopped and I looked at Sue and I said, Sue, I didn't know whether Billy Graham was right or wrong back then. I said, are you sure Billy Graham started this way? And she just started laughing. And, Billy Graham didn't do the things that we had to do. So anyway, I won't get into Billy Graham right now. We've done that before. I know, but go ahead.
Quote, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of the Father which is in heaven. Unquote, Matthew 18:19. Please, you are my only Father, so try to help me.
No, your Father is in heaven, okay? I mean, I always tell people I was born a daddy. I never had a childhood. My dad was like a gypsy and he was the top dancer in the world. He was with 20th Century Fox and taught Rudolph Valentino how to dance and Mae Murray, Polo Negra, and all that. I've got the whole scrapbook. And he never was at home much. He's like a gypsy. He was born in Romania. And So I was the daddy. I went out and carried papers and shined shoes and worked in a bakery on a bread machine, a wrapping machine. I put the bread, after it was wrapped on a shelf, it was for all the bread or rolls or whatever I could carry home at Eddie's Bakery in Helena, Montana. But then I shoveled sidewalks and mowed lawns and you name it. I did all those jobs and it helped support us. But anyway, go on.
Now I am
But you have a Heavenly Father. And I know everybody wants me to be their daddy or their... But I have a Heavenly Father. Thank God I've got a Father. Amen?
Amen.
So no matter how much you want me to be Big Daddy, you got a Big Daddy up there. Amen?
Amen.
Now you pray to Him. All right? Then what else?
Now I am not going to school because I don't have any money to pay my school fees. I want you to add me to your children and help me.
Okay. Well, I don't know what you're taking in school, but the Lord has never allowed me to help pay for somebody's education. I have a school of my own. You can come to this school free of charge. I have I've graduated many people through elementary school and high school, and you can come here and go to school if you want to, but I never send anybody to college or universities. Just that's a no-no from the Lord. I may, you know, if the Lord would tell me to open a university, I would sure do it. There'd be no problem. I don't know how I would, because I've never really been principal of a school, but I am now, and I have been for over 30 years. So, but I know that when the Lord tells you to do something, He gives you the ability to do it. Then what?
May the good Lord grant you His divine grace and mercy as you continue to expound on the Word of God to sinners. May the Lord richly bless you and your holy family, your son, Mohammed.
Yes, we help people with food and clothing, with literature and Bibles if you want to start a church. Tapes, Bible tapes free of charge, and we'll start you out. If you want to start a church in your home, we'll furnish the Bibles and the book, literature, and all the counsel that you need. And I would suggest, you know, if you really love the Lord, do it, okay? And get out and distribute literature, and it's all free. We'll give it to you, and you can start a whole revival in your town, and you'll get credit for it from the Lord, your Heavenly Father. Okay, and then what else? That's it. Now we have the continuation of the message that we were doing yesterday. And this part of the message involves something new from the book of Genesis. Amen. Chapter 1. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was empty. Its form was mass cloaked in darkness. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the whole face of the waters.
Okay, it was like moving upon the face of the water. Then what?
Because there was no land at that time.
No, the land had not, the seas had not been called, the water had not been called into one spot, which was the composition of the seas. All right, and the dry land had not yet appeared. Then what?
Verse 3. Then God said with His words, which is Spirit, quote, let there be light, unquote. And there was light.
Right. So, we're talking about the Word of God being Spirit. And to the words that I have spoken unto you are Spirit, Jesus said. And then we must worship God. God is Spirit, and we must worship Him in Spirit. Amen. With our Spirit. And we must touch the Lord, because the Lord will touch us if we touch Him, if we become regenerated or generated. Okay, so the Lord here is talking about the Spirit of God touching this earth and causing the waters to be assembled into one place, into which was what composed the different seas and made the dry land appear. This was all done by the Spirit. He says, not by power or might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, that all things are upheld by His Spirit. He upholds, He created everything with His Spirit, which is Christ. And remember, He says, the words that I speak unto you, the words that I spoke to the universe are Spirit. and it was the spoken word that caused the creation to occur. And people that don't believe that, you'll be in hell, because by faith you're saved, and by doubt you're damned. And it was Satan that came to Adam and Eve in the garden and told them another word, lying words, that God really doesn't mean what he says, you know, like, you're not going to die, he's just conning you, he's just jive, don't believe it, thou shalt not surely die. Now God knows if you eat from this tree that you're going to be like him. Your eyes will open up and you'll know good and evil. You'll know everything, just like God does. Don't you want to be like God? Don't let him con you. Eat. Take. Eat. All right. So that's not the spirit. That's not the spirit that you want to touch you. You don't want to touch that spirit, because in the day that you do, you shall surely die. And the day that you believe Satan over the Lord, the Spirit, his word, well, you're dead, you're doomed. And all of creation was doomed because they have a tendency to believe Satan rather than the word which the Lord speaks is the God Spirit. In order to worship God, you must worship him, the real Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of immortality, which is his word. Anything other than his word is counterfeit, and it has no virtue of life in it. Could you just read that line again, please?
Then God said with his words.
With his word. Then what?
Which is spirit.
Which, of course, is the real spirit. The spirit of God. The spirit that has life in it. And no other spirit has life. The spirit that must be believed, which is the word of God, which you can open up and read at any time that you like. If you want to feel the spirit of the Lord and see the truth, then you open the Bible. And the most precious one that I believe that you people in the in the United States of America and all English-speaking people could read that is the best is the King James Version. Now, there have been just a few mistranslations, because maybe they didn't know the Aramaic language that good. But if you study that along with the Hebrew and Aramaic, you're going to have the whole Bible. It is just anything that's in there is not that wrong. There are a couple of scriptures, but in all my writings, I read and then I can tell. And then that's when it sets me off into different writings of the Lord, and I start praying to the Lord to find out which is the absolute. And he lets me know. I have a very strong hearing ear from the Lord. As a matter of fact, the whole gospel field, all the major people in the gospel field, not the phonies that you see, but I mean the real old-timers, said among themselves that Tony Alamo has the hearing ears from God. And for a while, the Lord took those away from me. When I mentioned that in other tapes, when Susie was praying this person through, and he took them away. And then just before she died, she was in a coma, and she rose up out of the coma and put her hands on my ears and said, Lord, open his ears. And he did right there. That was her last prayer to God, and it was for me, and I really praise and thank the Lord that she prayed that, because my ears instantly opened again and I hear the Lord now. Alright, and so you're safe with what I'm telling you. Now, I don't look like a preacher, and neither did John the Baptist. He looked like a wild man. Elijah looked like a wild man. Moses didn't look like a preacher. You know, nowadays, if you want to look like a preacher, you have to get white buck shoes and one of these Jim Clinton suits, or a seersucker suit, and a chevy, and you know, keep your hair a certain length and so on. It's all outward appearance. But these characters in the Bible had real long hair, and they had grubby looking faces and wore camel's hair and leather on them, and they popped the heads off grasshoppers or locusts, really similar to them, and he'd eat those in wild honey. And so the choice of human flesh that God picks has always astounded human beings. And so don't judge us by our outward appearance, because you will never believe people said I look like the mafia, and nowadays they say he looks kind of like a wrestler or a boxer. I mean, a wrestler or a biker. And I am neither one. I'm not a wrestler, although I did wrestle, unprofessionally. Amateur, and I boxed before when I was a kid. But don't go by the looks, because that you just can't tell. All right, so let's go on here.
Then God said with his word, which is spirit.
Which is the spirit of God. Remember, Jesus said, my word is, the words I speak unto you are spirit. And God is a spirit, so you got to listen to the word, that it's spirit. Don't let it just say, blah, 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 like you're reading a newspaper or something, because that is not spirit. Go ahead.
Quote, let there be light, unquote.
Okay, because of the fact that God holds up the entire universe with his spirit, and he created us out of his spirit, everything was created by his spirit. There isn't anything that was not created by his spirit, and the Bible says that it wasn't anything that was created other than by Jesus. So Jesus really is the life-giving spirit, the quickening spirit, that quickens everything into being. Okay, then what?
And there was light, because it's not by man's power or might, but by God's spirit that everything was created. Verse 4, and God saw that it was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. How did he do that? By his spirit.
Right, everything is like, that's the finger of God. God is so powerful that all he has to do is say something and it's done. And no man can hold back their spirit once the Lord says, you're through. You're finished. Time to come out. And you're going to come out. And that could happen in a second from now, a minute from now, or while you're laying in your sleep, helpless, and all of a sudden you find yourself standing before the judgment bar of the living God. And if the blood of the Lord, who took all the time and trouble to tell you how he's going to come to the world, then he came here as a man, so he could have that genuine human blood in him so that you could be saved. He shed it so you could believe upon it and let it wash you by faith, your soul, and you could be ready for the Spirit of the Lord to enter into your body and be saved. If you don't believe all this, well, then you're lost. He went through a lot of trouble, and all the scriptures and all the people in the Bible kept themselves holy that wrote the scriptures so that the Lord would anoint them with the Spirit to tell you these things. So now the air is the Lord. Everything in the whole universe is God. And you'll find that out. It just seems ridiculous. But don't forget, you were just hatched into this world not long ago, and you're not that bright. You know, you really have to study world history, and world history really is the Bible. Okay? That tells you all about the earth, the heavens and the earth, and what we must do to get into heaven. And as I said, this is a junk shop down here, and we're here just for a short time to prepare our souls to meet God, to prepare our souls to enter into heaven. That's what it's all about. Nothing else. Now, Satan will try to tell you that it is, about other things, but it isn't. Now, in order to get to heaven, you have to believe God, not Satan. Right? Now, you can see what Satan is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're not that stupid. All right? You know that the devil is running rampant in the world today because he knows that his time is short. He knows he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, and all those unholy angels with him that transgress God's commandments, and everyone that follows him and believes him rather than God, like let's live our own life, man. You're only going to live once. Don't listen to God. Don't consecrate yourself unto the Lord. Don't take up the cross. Don't deny yourself anything in this world. Come on, smoke. Have sex. Drink booze. Take drugs. Do it all, man. Live in the fast lane. People die. And you're going to die too. Whether you want to or not, you're going to face God. And then what? He tells you what to believe. And so believe it. So you can live. Then what?
Verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night.
In other words, the news media didn't make up the word day and night, huh? Or your school teacher. No, God came up with those words, amen?
Amen.
Well, it's daytime now. Well, it's nighttime. Well, you're just polyparroting what God called it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Everybody's, of course, if you're Spanish, it's noche, right? And if it's night, it's what? I mean, daytime, it's?
Dia.
Dia?
Dia.
Buenos dia. Buenas noches. Okay? The same thing, right? Night, day. All right, then what else?
Together, these made up one day, 24-hour day. Verse 6.
So a day is not just daytime. It's night and day combined, 24 hours is one day. Then what? According to God. Then what else?
Verse 6. And God said, quote, let there be space between the waters to separate them, the water from the water, unquote.
See, there's heavenly water, which is the Spirit, and then there's water that we drink sustain the bodies that God made out of the dirt of the ground. And if you don't, you know, you can check with anyone that knows that when somebody is cremated, they go through the ashes and they've tested it out, and the very elements that are in the earth are in those ashes. There's a certain amount of copper, a certain amount of magnesium, a certain amount of iron, and all the other different minerals and stuff. And I believe we're worth, with these inflated prices, about $1.97, something like that. Okay, so the hat you're wearing costs more than your body is worth. Amen? And then what?
Verse 7. God made his space to separate the waters above from the waters below. Verse 8. And God called the space, quote, sky, unquote.
You know, our teacher didn't come up with that word? Or the media? Or the Pope? No, God did. Amen?
Amen.
How about Muhammad? He didn't come up with it either. Or Buddha? No, Buddha's just a statue. Okay. Rots are ruck if you're worshiping him or Diana or Mary. Mary. And then what else?
This happened on the second day. Verse 9. Then God said, quote, let the waters beneath the sky...
He said with his word, his spirit. Let the what?
Let the waters beneath the sky be gathered into one place so that dry ground may appear, unquote.
And look, we're sitting on dry, we're just like standing and walking on dry ground, and we can see the oceans too. It's happened. You don't believe that? Well, then you're believing Satan. You believe in evolution, you're believing in Satan. And you're going to hell in the lake of fire because you're calling God a liar and Satan the truth. They come up with different theories every year. You're a very sad case scenario. Okay, then what else?
Verse 10. And so it was. God named the dry ground, quote, land, unquote.
So the Lord came up with the word land?
Yes.
Huh? About any of these other people? What about the intellects in the world? Did they come up with it? No, they have to use the same word, right?
Okay.
He came up with the word feet, too. So I don't care if you call it freep. It's still feet, okay? Because God said so. You want to stand up on your own two freep. It's feet. Okay, then what?
God named the dry ground, quote, land, unquote, and the water, seas. And
so
God
that came, the four winds and the seven seas. God came up with seas. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And God saw that that was good. Verse 11, then God said, quote, let the land burst forth with every sort of grass and seed-bearing plant, and let there be trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. The seeds then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came, unquote.
Right, so if you plant a peach seed, a peach tree is going to come up. Amen?
Amen.
And if a human sows seed into his wife, there's going to be a baby. If a monkey has sexual relationships with another monkey, it's not going to come out as semi-human. It's a monkey. Amen?
Amen.
Now, maybe you're a monkey. If you want to be a monkey, that's a fictitious thought in your mind, but it's a lie, and it comes from Satan. And the Bible says that human beings are human beings and that we have power and dominion over all the other life on earth. And that's the way it is to this very day. All right, then what?
Verse 12, and so it was, the land was filled with seed-bearing plants and trees.
How could anyone believe that at one time they were a rhinoceros or a giraffe? And how did all these things evolve into the tens of thousands of different animals and bugs and everything? No, it's just like the Lord said, flies beget flies, horseflies, beetles, there's many different varieties of them. They all have the same kind of beetles when they bring forth life, and the grass still brings forth grass, and apple trees bring forth apples, apes bring forth apes. And just because some of the people in the world resemble an ape, they're still not. You're still a human, so take heart. Okay, then what?
And their seeds provided plants and trees of like kind. And God saw that it was good. I could go on and on, but I'm just doing a little bit here of chapter 1 of Genesis, and to say a prayer. Because praying, God said a prayer. Quote, and let there be this, and let there be that, unquote. And his words are spirit, executed.
Okay, they are, his spirit is him. So it is him, God, Jesus, that created everything. Because the spirit is God. In the beginning was the word was God, and the word was God. And he came to this world, and the words that he speaks are spirit, and God is the spirit. And all those that worship him is the spirit, and all that worship him must worship him in their spirit. So it's your spirit must touch the spirit of the Lord, and the Lord wants to live in your spirit, and he wants you to live in his. And his living in his word, his spirit, means that you're reading the word and doing what it says. And there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the God, after God, the Spirit, the Word, the life. All right? Then what?
Chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. O God, the Creator that is Spirit.
Okay, yes, the Creator, that it wasn't anything other than God's Spirit that created everything. And that Spirit, the Bible says, is Jesus. And that Spirit says that Jesus is the Word who came to the world as a man with God in him. Amen?
Amen.
That man had genuine human blood in him, and that man sits on the throne in the kingdom of heaven right now. Did that what?
How marvelously you created the entire universe out of emptiness. How everyone should praise you. I praise you for your love and your power! Exclamation point.
Why, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him, the Word, the whole Word of God, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe in the whole Word of God, you believe in the whole Spirit of God. You believe in the whole God. And if you reject any of the whole God, the whole Word of God, you're lost. Okay, then what?
And your truthfulness and your brilliance. I love you because you hear me and you incline your ear unto me. And I know that when you hear me and because you love me, you're going to answer my prayers. Praise the Lord our God. Praise you, Lord.
Now, do we have handy the 116th Psalm?
Yes.
Because we did a little bit of that yesterday, and I'd like to elaborate on that a little bit more today because we have a little bit of time here. Okay, the 116th Psalm. We did the first two verses yesterday, and we'll just do them again now. Now remember, when you're hearing this word of God, you're going to feel the Spirit of the Lord. Because this is the word of God, which is Jesus. You're going to hear Jesus now. You're going to hear God. Then go ahead.
Verse 1. I love the Lord.
I love the Lord. This is the psalmist David. And this, there are several psalms written by others, and let's just say the writer of Psalm 116. All right? Then what?
I love the Lord because he hears and answers my prayers.
Then what?
Verse 2, because he inclines his ear.
Because he hears his prayers. How wonderful it is to know that God hears you when you talk. He hears my prayers. And this is the Spirit hears your prayers. The Spirit that created everything. The Spirit that is the Word of God. And that Spirit is Christ. And that Spirit is the one that died, became a man, and died for you. And so you got to know that he is so loving and so precious that he hears your words that are coming from your regenerated spirit. When you're reaching out to him in spirit and touching, oh God, let me touch you. Here's the things that I need, Lord. Or we see the things in this world that are needed, and I pray, Lord, that you cause these things to happen. You said that we could bind whatever we want bound here on earth, and that if we did, you'd bind them in heaven. And I'm binding them in prayer right now, Lord. I know that there's so many evil things on this earth that need to be bound, that is beyond us, because the evil ones on this earth are more than the hairs on our heads. And so we know that with you, you can do this. We can't. So we're praying to you, Father, that you bind all the demonic demons and all these people that are evil on earth and the ones that are troubling the house of the living God. Bind them in the name of Jesus here on earth and in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, Father. And set the captives free. Lord, destroy the works of Satan. Tear down Satan's kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, and then what? So I'm praying the prayer that the Lord likes. He came here to destroy the works of Satan. And many of the people that call themselves Christians allow Satan to just run rampant in the church, in their lives, in the world, in their homes. And the Lord wants me to tell you that you're not to give any place like that to the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Okay, then what?
Because he inclines his ear.
God inclines his ear to you if you're really a sincere person and you don't let Satan take you over. Some people think it's real smart to act foolish. Some people act that it's good to just be loose and not be so precise and concise in the way you think and the way you talk and the way you do things. That these kind of people that are sloppy can never be trusted. A lazy person cannot be trusted, and a forgetful person cannot be trusted with anything. You'll tell them to do something, and 2 minutes later they'll forget what you said. They're not trustworthy. And the Father, in the kingdom of heaven, his word tells us that we must be trustworthy, good servants that remember the things that we're supposed to do, and that we're to remember the living God who tells us all these things. Then what?
Because he inclines his ear.
Yeah, I love the Lord because, and I pray to him for the rest of my life because he hears me, he inclines his ear, he bows his he stretches his ear towards us to hear, to pick up on every murmur, every whisper. And then sometimes if we'll just let our soul, our spirit, just cry out to him, there's things within the depth of us that we can't even, we don't have words to say, the Bible says, but if we can just even groan unto him, say, Lord, this world, there's no peace on earth any longer, and it's getting worse all the time. The terrorists are blowing people up every day. And Lord, we see that you're punishing the people of the earth by flooding their cities and by pouring out your spirit against them. and bringing in tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and all types of different diseases. Father God, turn it up even more if they won't repent. But we pray, Lord, that they will. And there's so much evil on this earth, Lord, it's beyond our ability to do it. But we know that's what prayer is for. Prayer is that for that we can get a hold of you and you can stop these things. You can bind them here on earth as you will in heaven. And that's what we're asking, Lord, is that you put an end to all this evil here on earth in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then what else?
Because he inclines his ear, in other words, he hearkens. He bends his head to where his ear lowers, and he listens to what you have to say.
I mean, if you're regenerated, if you're a generated spirit, a born-again spirit, and if you want to get saved, he'll do the same thing to you. If you're lost, if you've committed all the worst crimes in the world, and you'll call out to the Lord, he'll save your soul. He came to save sinners. But if you're a self-righteous person, you go to some religious organization and you think that because you're going into some building where they've got fancy paintings, expensive paintings, and the altars are lined with gold and they just got pockets full of money, and they walk around with pomp, and that isn't going to do you any good at all. You must be born again of the Spirit. And there is no religion that can save your soul. Salvation is of the Lord, but religion is of the devil. Okay, then what?
For this reason, I will pray as long as I have breath.
He'll pray as long as he has breath because the Lord hears. And not only does he hear, he answers. So those of you that are not saved, call on him now. Say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood. I've committed every kind of sin in the book. I've murdered little children. I've encouraged people to have abortions. But I thank God that there's hope. Your word is true and your promises are true. You said in the vilest sinner that you'll make him completely clean. Wash all my filthy sins away and drown them in the sea of your forgetfulness. And make me a new creature, a spiritual creature. Raise me up, Lord. Live in me and abide in me. And I will abide in your word. And I'll be your servant, and I'll get this word out throughout the world. I'll tell the people, if everyone, I see all these failures here on earth that are not really getting your word out, but just let me be saved, Lord, and I'll do the job of 1,000. I'll do the job of 10,000, 100,000, millions of people. I'll get the word out to the people of this world and let them know that you're God and that there's salvation for the most vilest sinner, if they will just come unto you and deny them, then they'll just get their soul saved, get their sins all washed away in your precious blood. Okay, and then what?
Verse 3, death had his hands around my throat. The terrors of the grave overtook me.
See, death is on every side in this world. And anybody could wind up in the grave any time. And so you could say the same thing that David is saying here, or whoever the writer of this psalm is saying, all right? And but God will hear you, and he'll protect you, and he'll guide you to a safe place. So these things won't happen to you. Then what?
I saw only trouble and sorrows. That's all I can see. Verse 4. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And that's what we need to do. And we praise the Lord. Then what?
Please, Lord, save me. Verse 5. How kind the Lord he is! Exclamation point. How good he is! So merciful this God of ours! Exclamation point. Verse 6. The Lord protects those of childlike faith.
Okay.
Those of us who just believe him because he's God. Like little children believe their parents. I was facing death and then you saved me. Verse 7, now I can rest again, for the Lord has been so good to me. Verse 8, he has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. Verse 9, and so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live before him here on earth. Back to verse 2, I want you to reflect, to think about where you would be if the Lord didn't listen to us or listen to your prayers. We need to thank the Lord that he does listen. Because if we're keeping his commandments, and even if we're not, it's so good to know that he hears us, because he cares for us.
In other words, if you're unsaved and if you have a desire to keep his commandments, he will hear you. All right? Now, we know that you're not serving the Lord, most of you people out there, but just he will listen to you if he knows that you're going to listen to him and follow him. Okay, then what else?
He acts on our prayers on our behalf.
But if you don't pray, there's no action. Then what?
116 verse 6. Lord, please give me a childlike faith, one that believes you and relies strictly on you completely. Mark chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. 116 verse 10. I believe in you, so I prayed. Quote, I am deeply troubled, Lord, unquote. Verse 11. In my anxiety, I cried out to you. Quote, these people are all liars, exclamation point, unquote. Verse 12. What can I offer the Lord for all that he has done for me? Verse 13. I will lift up a cup symbolizing his salvation. I will praise the Lord's name for saving my soul. Verse 14.
He'll save your soul as well. And so I see that our time is up. And so, you know, reach out to the Lord right now. Just say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that you're the Son of the living God, and I believe that you died on the cross to shed your precious blood for the forgiveness of my sins. And I believe that God raised you from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. I know you won't turn me away because your word says you'll turn no one away. Therefore, I know that you've heard me, and I know you've answered. Thank God you've heard me, and I know you've answered me. The word says that anyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and therefore, I know that you've saved my soul. And just start praising and thanking the Lord, and keep praising and thanking him all night long. Amen. And all day tomorrow, you know, just keep praising him, because he'll hear those praises, and the Bible says that God lives in the praises of his saints. Well, until tomorrow, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, open the Bible and look at him right there. He is the Word of God. He's the Spirit. And with the Spirit in you, all things are possible. Only believe. If the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is living in you, you've got it made. Just stay in the Spirit. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord.